Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us so much, that you gave us your everything. And Father, I pray that today we would return that into praise and sacrifice and surrender as we give our lives back to you in return. And we know everything that you lay your hands to is made better. And so, Lord, as you lay your hands on our lives, we know we can surrender to you. We can do it with confidence and know when we place our lives in your hands, you'll make us better. Thank you, God. You are so good, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all were expected to come into a cold place this morning? And then it is nice. We got heat. We have heat. So good. Thank you, Mr. Devin George, who's fixed us up with heat. Not only that, we also have four portable classrooms that are all refurnished and refurbished. And thank you, Brother Scott, for that. We are so blessed here on this hill. So blessed on this hill. And I know it was not just Scott Schultz, but his entire family that have sacrificed for so much here. And we're very, very thankful for you all. But man, God is so good. I did not know 2 weeks ago when I preached here, I did not know that I was going to receive an invitation to Washington, D.C. But I got that invitation and to an exclusive pastor's event there in D.C. with the, it was called the Watchmen on the Walls conference there. And with maybe you're familiar with Tony Perkins, Family Research Council. That's where we were this last week. So I actually have a map of Washington, D.C. And so if you're seeing Washington, D.C., I know the screens are a little small. If you're all the way at the back, you don't have to worry about that much longer. It's going to be a big, ginormous one right here. But this is what's called the Mall at Washington, D.C. On one end of it, looks like the one closest to me. One end of it, the one closest to me, number 10 is what's on there. It's the Lincoln Monument. You'll have on a penny, you'll see the little Lincoln Monument there. Then it's the Reflection Pond, and then it's the Washington Monument about the middle. It is 1 mile between the Lincoln Monument and the Capitol Building on the opposite end. When the Washington Monument was built, it was the tallest structure in the world at that time. Right before you get to the Washington Monument, there's actually a tent there called David's Tent. It's been there for the last 10 years with worship ongoing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there on the National Mall. By the way, I know when you think mall, you think shopping mall. It's not a shopping mall. That's what that's called. As you go past the Washington Monument, actually where number 7 is, that's the World War II monument. The newest one is really amazing. So there's the facts. There's the map of Washington, D.C. So now that you've seen that, you can say you've experienced Washington, D.C., right? Okay, well, let's... Maybe not. All right, so let's look at some pictures. There's a picture of us at the Capitol building. This was on Friday. By the way, I know we're a little bundled up. The wind was blowing at 30 miles an hour on Friday. We got to go right up to the Capitol building. Of course, government shut down, didn't get to go inside. But I just kind of sharing with you some of our experiences. Is there the other one at the Washington? Okay, so a little further down as we rode our bikes. We like to go and rent bikes and just ride all over D.C. And so we left the Capitol there and started riding back down the mall. And they getting close to the Washington Monument, we noticed they started shutting down streets. And by the way, we have a church member who's an advisor to President Trump. I said, is the president going somewhere today? They're shutting down the street over by Washington Monument. He obviously did not respond. It's kind of like secrets, you know, when the president travels. But sure enough, here comes motorcycles, and we saw the president drive by us as we're scooting around on our little bicycles in the, and so that's our experience. So now that you've heard of our experience, now you can say you've experienced Washington, D.C., right? Okay, so today we're going to be talking about God. We're going to discuss a little theology. As we get into theology, theos being God, and ology, the study of. So as we get into theology, it's like the map that you saw. It's facts. Because we can look at different attributes and characteristics of God. We can say this is what God is like. And so we're going to look at what God is like. First, we're going to look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And verse 7 speaks of the omnipresence of God, meaning he is everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, by the way, that would be the word Sheol, or the grave, or the abode of the dead. If I go there, I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Behold, you are there. So, If I go all the way to the heights of heaven, God's there. If I go all the way into the grave, into the belly of the earth, God is there. Notice, again, I pointed out that this is the word Sheol, not Gehenna. Gehenna is the spiritual place. It is a physical, literal place for the devil and his angels and everyone who chooses devil instead of God. God is not there, and that's what makes it hell. But in the place of Gehenna, the place of the grave, even God is there. Verse 9, if I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. His omnipresence, he's everywhere. God is everywhere at all times. That's what God is like. Amen? He's omnipotent, meaning he's all powerful. I want you to look with me to Psalm 147. And he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. He knows everything and he has all power. I want to look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11 and 33. I didn't mark that one. Here I am. I found it. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are your judgments and his ways past finding out. There ain't nothing that God can't know. I know that ain't good English, but it's great theology. The awesome thing about God is even that he is all-knowing, he is willing to forget some things. Praise God. He said, I'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Aren't you glad it did not say north to south? If you go north long enough, you'll actually start heading south. That's not infinite. It's actually a north eventually turned back to south. North pole, south pole, back north. But he said, as far as the east is from the west. If I start traveling east, I'll always be traveling east. I'll only run into some water every now and then, but he said it's infinite. His love is infinite. He knows everything, but he's willing to forget some things. Praise God. Praise God. He's cast our sins as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. So that's what God is like. A little bit about what he's like. He's also righteous and just. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. I need you to catch that. All his ways are justice. What does that mean? Every sin must be paid for. Well, I'm thankful that I reminded myself that he is willing to forget some things. Because he says all things, all sins have to be paid for. He is perfect and he is just. And a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. That can be a problem. It could be a problem if I am still in my sins, if I am still in my rebellion, if I have not turned to the Lord. It's a problem that he is just. But it's a good thing for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. You see, he is, it tells us in Malachi chapter 3, he doesn't change. as you maybe have learned a little bit about Roman gods and Greek gods, all these false gods, they're actually real deities that are demonic deities. And in the ancient days, people would try to appease these deities. And they would appease them, try to appease them, because you couldn't ever really tell what side of the bed that god woke up on. And so they were always trying to appease these deities, these gods, which we know that there is a spiritual realm that is real, but those gods are false. But there is one good God and one true God and one righteous God, and he don't change, amen? He's God. And in Malachi chapter 3, he says, I am God, I do not change. Praise God. By the way, you don't have to worry about him waking up on the wrong side of the bed, because he says the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. Amen. That's a little bit about what God is like. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I don't know if you caught that, but in the angels' songs and the angels and the elders, as they worship the Lord, they are declaring his holiness, righteousness, his justice, his rightness. They are declaring his power, God Almighty, El Shaddai. They are declaring that he is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. They are declaring this over and over. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. A little bit more about who God is and what he is like. He is a creator. Amen? He is a creator. He has created all things, and he sustains all things. And so this is something for us to know. These are facts. This is truth, that this is what God is like. Also, if you'll look with me to Psalm 145 and verse 8, Psalm 145 and verse 8, this is what God is like. The Lord is gracious, amen, and full of compassion, amen, slow to anger, amen, and great in mercy, amen. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, amen. That's what God's like. He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's merciful. You know what else he's like? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God is gracious, compassionate, he's merciful, and God is love. Well, what kind of love? Agape love. There's a specific kind of love that the scriptures tell us about, and it gives us the description of God love, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love suffers long, is patient, and is kind. Aren't you glad God is patient and kind? I know I've pushed his patience. But that's just who he is. He's patient. He's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. You see, these are the characteristics of God love. God is love. He bears these characteristics. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. I know that if you, like me, have tested him and pushed him and tried his patience, that you are so thankful that his mercy is new every morning. Amen. He's love, and his love drives him to be gracious and compassionate and merciful. So there you have it. That's what God's like. I gave you the facts. I gave you the truth. Just like I gave you a map of Washington, D.C., and you say, okay, I've seen the map, I've experienced Washington, D.C. No, I can give you theology, and still you have not experienced God. So I tell you about my experience. I gave you testimony. I said, this is what we did last Friday, and this is what the experience was like, and the 30-mile-an-hour wind just about blew us off the bicycle, and that was our experience. We saw the president drive by. We met just some of the top pastors in America while we were in Washington, D.C. We got to hear from congressmen and the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and senators, and these are our experiences. That's called testimony. So now that you've heard my testimony, you've experienced God, right? Now that you've heard our testimony at D.C., you can say, well, I've experienced D.C. I saw a picture. I heard testimony. No, we have to have a personal experience. Let me tell you, I know God as a protector because I've experienced his protection. I know God as a provider because I've experienced his provision. I know him because I've experienced him in those ways. I can tell you testimony after testimony of how God has provided for us in ways that just blew my mind and broke my heart. We went off to college when I first surrendered to ministry. I'll just give you a quick one. We surrendered to ministry, and the pastor that was pastoring that day, he said, you need an education. And then he had resigned from the church that day, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, but we started going to school. We went to a Christian school, and that was expensive. Our first year of school took 10 years to pay off. And then someone said, you can go back home to Trinity Valley Community College and get your basics and get those taken care of, and that will be a whole lot cheaper than going to a private Christian university. And so we did that, And so I'm just trying to shorten the story a little bit. I got my basics all out of the way, and then we go. It was the morning of registration. It's time to go back to the university. And I'm the first one in our family that's ever gone to college. We didn't know how to do this thing. And so we're trying to learn along the way. And I wake up that morning and said, well, I'm going to register. And Chris said, I don't even know why you're bothering with that. We don't have any money. I said, I know, but I know God's doing something. So we need to, I'm going to go do it. And so we went to register, and I go through the whole process. And in this process, you sign up for all your classes. And then I'm sitting out there in a little waiting room at the financial aid office, and someone calls for me. And she sat me down there in front of the financial aid officer, and she said, are you a senior? No, ma'am. You have children? No, ma'am. At the time, I did. She said, well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. I said, give me what? She said, well, I have this scholarship for a senior who has children and who's going into the ministry and has good grades. She said, you're going into the ministry and you have good grades. She said, but you can't ride this thing out. It's a one-year scholarship. I got it for 2.5 years. And it paid for all of my education. It paid for all of my books. I got a check. Every semester, they give me a $60 check. I know him as provider because I've experienced him. That's just one way. I have so many testimonies of his provision. I know him as protector. See, what you may or may not know about me is I got a little wild side to me. As a child, I feel like I wore out two angels. I think one of these days I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to see these two guys over here just leaning. Lord gonna say, you done wore them too. So our church member, Brother Allen, who is there in Washington, D.C. right now, he said, Donald Trump at 79 years old works so hard and has so much energy, he says it requires 3 teams to follow him around all day because he'll wear out a team and they'll send in another team. And he'll wear out. I feel like I have that with angels. I'm going to get to heaven and there's going to be these tarred angels just laying over. you know, warm out. I've experienced his protection, things that I've done, and I've been into just some wild stuff as a kid, and then in ministry, there's been some close calls and scrapes in places like Africa, and I know him as a protector, because I've experienced his protection. Amen? Here's how else I know him. I know him as the Prince of Peace. I experienced a demonic attack January 8th of 2023, and I still struggle with, I hate to use this word, fear. I never had claustrophobia before. It's not an issue. I'm getting on the airplane to head to D.C., and I've got a window seat, and this 737 is packed. And we're shoulder to shoulder, and here, they're just people just keep coming and coming, and the anxiety. I've never experienced fear to this level. I've never had to deal with it. I've never had anxiety in situations like this. And there I am up against that one, and I'm just trying to look out that hole, and I'm just trying not to look at all the people. And I'm going to tell you what I started doing. I just started praying under my breath, and I just started praying to the Lord. I need your peace. I need your peace. I thought, I'm about to have a panic attack. They're trying to get people on this airplane. I'm finna run off of it. What am I going to do when we get up in the air? And I'm beginning to have fear and worry and struggle and anxiety. And Lord, I need your peace. And it didn't take long, and I fell asleep. Amen. And on the way home, I had no anxiety, and I slept. I know him because I've experienced him. And I know him in these different ways because I've experienced him in these different ways. But here, this is who God is, and I can tell you how he is because I've experienced him. Amen? But my testimony does not relate to your testimony. You have to experience him for yourself. Amen? God's not going to question you when you get to heaven and you stand before either the great white throne or the judgment seat, depending on the decision you make here on this earth, and ask you, now, how have you experienced me? He said, well, I heard a testimony that was amazing. The question is, do you have your own testimony? Have you personally experienced the Lord? Do you know him by experience? John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. You need to know God personally by experience, and there's only one way to do that, through Jesus. Amen? Because going back over what God is like, I need to go back to the fact that he is holy. He is holy. Amen? And we as people are sinful. See, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All of us have wandered away from his good will and his good ways. All of us have rebelled. All of us have rejected. He's holy. The problem with us being sinful and he being holy is that he is just. Meaning, all sin must be paid for. That's a problem if you're a sinner. And guess what? You are. So, all sin must be paid for. And then here comes the good news. It's called the gospel. Jesus Christ came to pay for sins on the cross. Amen? He paid for sin. All sin has been paid for if you connect yourself to Jesus. He paid for your sin. Amen? If you don't connect yourself to Jesus, aligning with his death, burial, you see, we had baptism today, and resurrection. If you don't align with him in his death, burial, and resurrection, then that debt hangs on you. And all sin must be paid for. There aren't numerous ways to God. There's one way. And Jesus says, I am the way. And so today, you can know all kinds of theology. You can hear all kinds of testimony. But my question to you is, do you know him? And there's only one way that you can know him, by surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Amen? So you learned some theology. You've heard some testimony. I'm going to ask you, do you know him? Have you experienced him personally? You must come by the way of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, that you so loved us, you gave us Jesus. The righteous requirements of God have been met because you, Lord Jesus, came on our behalf, nailing our sins to the cross, purchasing our salvation with your own blood. Lord, I just want to pray over everyone in this room today. Lord, that you would just stir in our hearts, causing us to ask ourselves, do I know him? Have I experienced him? Have I made him my Savior? How do I know him? Do I have testimony? See, I know you, Lord, as my protector and my provider and my peace. But before I ever knew you in any of those ways, I first came to know you as my Savior. And that came through my surrender to you. You are God and I am not. Your ways are perfect. As I surrendered to you, I experienced you. And it's the way that we all come to know you, saying, Lord, you're God. You're holy and I'm sinful, but you provided a way that I might have your holiness imparted to me and my sins removed from me by the cross. Not only did Jesus die for my sins, but he rose from the grave, proving that my sins have been paid for and that he truly is God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the grave. And when I called upon your name, you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, came into me. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray every person will examine themselves and ask that question. Do I just know about God? Or do I know God? Stir in them today, I pray, Lord Jesus. It's in that precious name we pray. Amen.